The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.
So now it's time to hear from Jack Chew, Cabin TD player, played for Derby, played for some other clubs in the League of Ireland, and his dad, Paul, is also a top League of Ireland ref. So Jack joins us on the line now, taking his break from work. How are you, sir? Jack Chew from Cabin TD. Welcome to the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. Jack, how are you?
How are you, Danny? What's the crack? How are you?
I'm great, thanks, sir. Yourself?
I'm good, just on my break and work here, so can answer the call.
Yes, Jack, taking a break from his job working in the gym and everything sports related in DCU there, Jack. So apart from being a footballer and also being a student in a different college in what's formerly called DIT, now TU Dublin City Campus, playing for Cabin Teely, working in UCD, you're a busy boy.
Yeah, a bit all over the place, Dublin, out in Cabin Teely, Ballymun, DCU and then DIT in town. So I'm keeping busy, but better busy than having nothing else to do, you know.
I assume you drive.
I do drive, luckily enough. Couldn't rely on the buses or Lewis there in Dublin, could I?
Yeah, no, of course not. No, I was speaking to a couple of the lads recently in Cabin Teely and they were just saying, you know, it's very common in First Division clubs for lads to be in college, to be working and to be playing football as well. Just explain to me how your week works because, you know, at the start there I said you're quite busy, which I said tongue-in-cheek, but it's actually true.
Yeah, most of the lads will be, especially in college or else working. I said there's only two or three lads that work full-time in Cabo. So, on a Monday morning I'd be working till 6 till 2 and then training in the evening. Then Tuesday I'd be working in the evening, Wednesday work in the morning, training in the evening, Thursday work in the evening, and then I try to stay off work then on the Friday for a game. So then I'm sort of in college as well during the week, so just trying to fit it all in, to be honest. The days I'm in college in the day, then I work an evening shift, so part-time, but luckily enough, with my job and with college and stuff, I'm able to be a bit flexible, so it doesn't work out too bad.
Yeah, and you know, with the long hours that you're doing, what are the main things that you have to do to make sure that you're able to perform in work, in college and at football, in terms of like sleep and food and, you know, making sure you have enough food prepared, and also that when you are being able to train and play and work, that you're doing it to the best level that you can do?
Yeah, well, I suppose a lot comes down to like preparation, like bringing food into work and stuff like that, so I'm not relying on getting stuff in here or just eating crap. And then sometimes I go from a 10 o'clock finish of work into a 6 o'clock shift in the morning, so trying to get a nap during the day for maybe an hour. So I come in from work, my mom wants to talk to me and I'm rushing up to bed. She probably thinks I'm not in the best humour, but really I'm just trying to keep my energy levels high for football, because that's what I'm trying to give me all to at the minute, you know.
Yeah, and if we talk about the football firstly, Jack, it's been an interesting start to the season for your club.
Yeah.
You've won recently away in Drogheda 4-1, drew 1-1 with Longford, and you were also beaten 3-2 by Shell. Sorry, you beat Shell 3-2 in Tucker, yeah, should I say, having lost 3-0 to Bray on the opening night of the season. So how would you look back on the start of the season, four league games in?
Yeah, we've had a good start. I think we've played some of the top teams in the division, so everyone in the division is going to be a tough game. But we've had a good start. I thought on the first night of the season when we lost to Bray 3-0, sort of didn't really affect the game. They got the win, so forgetting about that, then we moved on to Shells. And we're all up for it, really, because we knew we put in a good performance against Bray. Went into that and won, and we've just carried that on, to be honest. Longford last week was scrappy, I think, on our behalf, and I think their players would say that a draw was probably a fair result. And then in Drogheda, we were very good again, so we're hoping just to continue that form and keep the consistency levels, because I think that's where we fell short last season. We were playing the better teams winning, and then the so-called weaker teams in the league we were dropping points to, or even winning the big teams, and then the following week we'd lose or slip up. So we need to just stay consistent, and that's what's going to keep us going up in the league.
Yeah, and of course most recently as well, on Bank Holiday Monday, beat Bray 2-1 in the Leinster Senior Cup as well. Jack, you mentioned your last home game against Longford, and your next home game is taking place this Saturday at 2:30 at home to Limerick in Stradbroke. I have to ask you about the pitch. It's the worst I've ever seen in the league. What was it like for you guys to play on? And it's not ideal for either team, home or away, to have to play on that.
Yeah, well, listen, it's a tough one because Cabo obviously are using that ground at a rugby club. We're not as lucky as some of the clubs to have our own ground. So at the minute, the pitch is in the best condition. But listen, it's the same for both teams on a Friday night. I think that every team should be able to adapt to whatever pitch they're on. Like, since I've been playing when I was young, I've played in the Lawns, and the Lawns isn't a great pitch. So I think every team should be able to adapt and play the conditions. So it's the same for both teams on Friday night. about going to go out, try to win the game, and take it from there. I'm sure someone will be complaining about the pitch by the end of it, so I don't really get too focused on that.
Yeah, and I think as well the game this weekend has had to be moved because of a rugby game this week as well, and I suppose from your point of view, you just need to try and, you know, in these matches, be able to be at your best level. And then when you hear people and opposition players and that, you know, speaking about the pitch and that, I'm sure in private you guys would like to have a better pitch, but it's not in your control as a Cabin Tidy player or in the clubs really. But and in the summer it will get better, but I'm sure it's quite difficult to play on. Like the photos I saw of the Longford game, it just didn't look good at all.
Yeah, well, first, yeah, you said about the game being changed from Friday to Saturday. I was actually meant to go over to the Ireland Gibraltar game on Saturday, so that changed my plans too. So, but yeah, on the pitch, look, it's bobbly, and you're sort of having to take an extra touch, and you can't stay on the ball for as long as you probably would. But you just have to get on with these things. Like, complaining about it, there's nothing we can do about it, and there's nothing the other team can do about it. So you just got to get on with it and play the game, and give it your all, really.
Yes, now we're talking to Jack Tute here on the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast, son of the legendary League of Ireland referee, Mr. Paul Tute. And Paul is actually en route to Gibraltar now, because he's at every single Ireland game, home and away, and Jack's been at lots of them with him. And I texted Paul to say, Paul, is there any gossip on Jack? And he said, well, he should be actually with me now on the way to Gibraltar, but he's not because the game was moved. So that's an absolute disaster.
Yeah, sure, what can you do? Cavill comes first. But I was meant to go over Saturday morning, flight to Malaga, go to the game Saturday night and be back on Tuesday, and then go to the home game on Tuesday against Georgia. But obviously, the game got changed, so those plans got ripped up.
So, over the years, how many games have you been to with your dad, and what sort of thoughts do you have? And I suppose when you look back when you're older, and even now, some unbelievable memories going with your dad, who's also a mad football man, cheering on the boys in green.
Yeah, I've had some great memories. The furthest away trip that I can remember, or like the longest one back, would probably be Germany. It was a 0-0 draw. It was just after a Euro campaign, but he's been bringing my older brother since he was my age. Like, he brought him to Korea and Japan for the World Cup. I've been to Austria, Scotland. I've been to plenty of countries, Denmark twice. But I've had great memories. Most of the times when we go on the away trips, the results are good too, so just makes for a better trip. So at the minute, him and my little brother are on the way over, and then my older brother's going over on Saturday to them. So
you're going to
be missing out on that one, but what can you do?
Yeah, and I think the game is at 4:30 or 5:00 Irish time Saturday, so you might just be able to get home from Stradbroke to watch it maybe on telly.
Yeah, it's at 5:00, so after the game, be rushing home to watch on the telly. I'll probably see me dad on the telly, because he's always getting his face on it.
Hopefully you're 4-0 up against Limerick, and the gaffer can take you off and send you off on your way a bit early.
I might catch a little private jet over there if I'm lucky, yeah.
Jack, what's it like having a dad who is a League of Ireland referee and a former, I think he's the best referee in the league. I'm not saying that because you're on the podcast with me, but I've said this publicly before, he talks to players, he actually knows them by first name, and if someone wants to tell him to F off, he'll tell them to F off back and won't book them or send them off or whatever as well. But it's a unique experience, because I know he can't ref games you're involved in, and also because you're playing in DIT, he refs some college games too, he can't ref games that you're involved in there either. So it's a strange one, and to have a son and a ref, a dad who's a ref in the same league.
Yeah, it is a strange one, to be honest. Luckily enough for me, when I came back from England, he sort of could tell me a bit more about the clubs here, because I used to go to the matches when I was younger, when he was reffing. Like, if it would be up in Derry or Rovers would be the closest club to me. But I would have went all around the country to whatever games he was reffing. So I sort of didn't know what was going on for the 3 or 4 years. Just kept relying on the results when I was away in England. But it is a different one. A lot of players do say that he's one you can speak to, and that you won't really take anything too seriously on you, and you won't book you for talking to him. So it's always nicer than that rather than the bad stuff you hear.
Of course. So when you were a kid, you actually went to watch your dad refereeing games. That's really cool. So your first introduction to League of Ireland as such was watching him being a ref.
Yeah, definitely. I remember going to the Brandy a good few times. I remember in that Pat game, I can't remember who it was against now, but they won the league, I think it was, in Inchicore.
Against Sligo, I think it was.
Probably, yeah. I remember going to Bowes and Rovers games. That was my first introduction to the League of Ireland football, being through my dad. So then, ever since then, I've kept an eye on the results when I was away in England and stuff, and now I'm playing it. So
Yes, nice, nice. So we spoke about, Jack, your introduction to League of Ireland football from your dad, but you were also a dab hand at the El Gaa and playing for the Dubs underage. Tell us a little bit about that. And like loads of kids, we had Aaron Dobbs from Longford on the podcast last week, and he was saying the same thing. You know, he was playing for Wexford and his dad was pushing him towards football, and he was actually hiding his bag in a ditch to go and play Gaa when he shouldn't have been. And you were really good at Gaelic football as well.
Yeah, I played with Luke and Sarsfields since I was young, played football and Gaelic. Got up to about under-16s, and I started under-15, 16s, I started playing for the Dublin underage team. James Talbot with Bowes, Dan Casey with Cork, I spoke with them as well. But we were both playing football around the Immersion Ireland, Immersion Talent team and the Irish squad and stuff like that. So we sort of had to push for one and take one more, a bit more serious. So the three of us ended up choosing football. And to be honest, I quite miss it, but football is more important to me and I enjoy it more. Last season, two seasons ago in the off season, I ended up playing for the under-21s, Luke Garfield's led for a couple of games. So that was a good crack and interesting.
Yeah, and at the time when you were playing for Cherry Orchard anyway, of course, just before you moved away to Derby and you were playing GAA at a good level, and even, like you said, since you've been back in the League of Ireland, you've played the odd game. How is it, you know, being able to strike that balance? And, you know, I find it very interesting as well that, you know, certain people are very, very good at a couple of different sports, and that, I mean, even talking to Dobbsy last week, he was saying that, you know, his movement and his finishing and stuff is as applicable on a Gaelic football pitch as it is on a soccer pitch. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I found that football and Gaelic ball helped each other, to be honest. The fitness levels in Gaelic really pushed me for with Cherry Orchard. Like, I was a full playing right full or else right wing at the time. And I was just able to keep going all day. I think it was because I used to play a football match on a Saturday and then play a Gaelic match a couple of hours later. So I was doing two in a row. I think that helped with that. And then with football, I think the agility side of things and sort of seeing a pass or whatever helped me with GAA. So they both really helped each other, to be honest.
And would you still now keep an eye on the Dubs results and Luke and Sarsfields and maybe get to the odd game and stuff?
Yeah, well, my mum's partner is still heavily involved with the senior team in Luke and Sarsfields, so my little brother still plays. He's with the minors at the minute. And I keep an eye out on the Dubs results and I try to get to as many games as I can. Saturday I didn't go because I was working. I probably would have went to the Tyrone match. But yeah, I still have a big interest in the Gaelic football. Not so much the hurling.
Yeah, I was at Croker myself a couple of weeks and really enjoy watching the Dubs as well. Jack, lastly, I know you're almost heading back to work, so I won't keep you for too much longer. We spoke to a couple of people in recent weeks and months on the podcast about being in England and coming back, and, you know, an interview we did with Keelan Dillon, who's now playing for Athlone, you know, did really well, and we got some really nice comments about how honestly he spoke about his time there. For you, I just wanted to ask, you moved from Cherry Orchard to Derby in 2012 and you came back and you've played for Athlone and Shells, and obviously now you're playing for, you know, we've spoken already about, you know, what you're doing this season and stuff like that. What advice would you give to you as a 16-year-old now, looking back on that kind of 7 years later, now playing for Cabinteely, but looking back all those years ago when you did move away and having a time now to become an adult and to kind of look back on it all?
I'd probably just tell myself how tough it would be that bit more, sort of off the pitch. Like, football's great when you're in the club, but you're finished at like 11 or 12 most days and you're going home to the same room or whatever. So I'd probably just say how tough it would be for myself. But I have no regrets about going over at that age. You see a chance and you have to take it. And things could have worked out differently, but they didn't. A lot of players now probably jump straight away, but I think with the new under-17s, 15s, I think it's now 13s as well, League of Ireland, it's put a thing in players' minds now that they can say, I can stay here and play at the top level in Ireland rather than go away. So I think that's a great introduction to the league.
Yeah, and again, you know, from that interview I mentioned and others too, it seems, and you know, it's definitely true that even though things didn't work out and you know, you're now home, the person you are now and the football you are now was definitely shaped by those experiences in England. What sort of experiences and, you know, what sort of things would you say helped shape the person you are now from a footballing point of view and also maybe mentally?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely a lot mentally stronger. I think I can take a lot more because I've been through a lot of tough times in England. I've learned a lot, whether that be in the gym or on the football pitch, through the coaches at Derby, and being there for 4 years in a full-time environment. But a lot of it you just try to take and bring it into Cabinteely now, and even outside of football, like going home to my digs and having to do stuff either by myself or with the digs, someone who looked after me. I sort of bring it home now and help my man out that bit more that I probably wouldn't have if I didn't move away, you know, because I would have took it for granted.
Yeah, and when you went over, like every 16-year-old, you're 100% sure in your own head that you're going to make it and you're going to play football in England for the next 50 years or 15 years and, you know, become a millionaire and so on and so forth. Yeah. When you have to come back and then, you know, you've jumped from Athlone to Shells to Cabinteely and stuff and you're working and you're now, thankfully, in education and in college, what's that or what was that transition for you like at, you know, at that time?
It's horrible. I remember I went on trial for 2 or 3 days with Portsmouth after my contract finished with Derby. And I was thinking to myself, great, I go down here, I have a chance. If I do well, I get offered the contract for at least, whatever, 6 months or a year. And I can push on from there. I went down and I played a game against Crawley. And it was one of the best games I thought I played in like a couple of months or years, even like. And I remember going into the changing room then after and being told that there wasn't a contract there for me, that there wasn't a reserve team. So I didn't really see where I could push on. Then I came back for a week. Like, I didn't really know what to do with myself. I had no education. Didn't have a trade or anything like that. I remember my godmother's husband, he helped me out. He brought me into his printing company and I started working with him for a few months. And then some college courses just started to come up. And I seen a PLC course in Inchicore, which isn't too far away from me, in leisure management, sport and leisure management. So it was something I was interested in and I went for that. That was 2 years there. And that's how I got my job in DCU and that's how I pushed on to do a degree in college, which I'm doing now. So it's a tough role, but I think if you stick at it and you work hard enough, like, you can get there, you know?
Yeah, because on a last note, I wanted to ask you that when you come home and you've no education, well, we say no education, you've not done your leaving cert, and I think it's fair to say the education offered by the majority of English clubs is not up to a standard that if you do have to come home or whatever, you can't go straight into a university and get into a degree. What's the process? You said you had to do a PLC course, and basically you have to spend an extra couple of years in education to be able to go to a DIT or a DCU or a Blanche IT or whatever that may be.
Yeah, listen, that's what I'd say. If any kids or parents are even, if they're thinking about going to England to play football and they think they won't get their leaving cert, I wouldn't really be put off by that reason because you can always come back. I've done a 2-year PLC course. It just takes that bit longer and a bit more hard work. So I've done a 2-year PLC course, which enabled me to get the points that I probably would have in my leaving cert to go on and do a degree in college. So I was lucky enough to do it that way. The PLC course I've done, like, 30 people started out in it and only three or four finished it. So it was tough. You were going into classrooms most days on your own with a teacher, or sometimes the teacher wouldn't show up because there wasn't enough students there. But I knew that I had to get it done, and that's what I've done. So now I'm on the bigger and better things in college and stuff, so I'm happy I've done it now.
Great stuff, Jack Chew. Thanks a million for your time. Enjoy the rest of work tonight. Best of luck on Saturday against Limerick, and hopefully the boys in green can win in Gibraltar in your absence. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, thanks. 2 good results Saturday, hopefully.
The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store. This is Off the Ball.